Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. This is the most fact-driven, unbiased true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket. First, where are the boys? Second, the Tennessee manhunt is over. Third, no, mom can't remain in the freezer. Fourth, don't live stream from the crime scene. Fifth, another solicitation fail. Six, who knew these teachers were so romantic? Seven, wait until you hear how this peeping Tom was caught. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and we announced the winner from last week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you please hit that subscribe button and then hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First on the docket, where are the boys? Yes, the boys that we are referring to are Orson West and Orrin West, 3 and 4 respectively. The question comes down to, where are they? They seem to have disappeared without a trace. The young boys went missing shortly before Christmas, and in the week since, police have uncovered little as far as clues, and it's leading to a lot of frustration, not only to the adoptive parents, the biological mother, as well as the community, where highly trafficked corridors have signs saying, "Where are the boys?" Now, the West brothers are the adopted sons of Trezell and Jacqueline West. Orrin is 4, Orson is 3, and the couple say they began fostering Orrin and Orson back in 2018 and officially completed the adoption back in 2019. They also have 4 other children, 2 of whom are adopted and 2 more that are biological. All of those children have been taken into protective custody since the boys' disappearance. Both boys are about 3 feet tall and weigh about 40 pounds. They were last seen wearing black sweaters and dark colored sweatpants. The boys were reported missing on the evening of December 21st, 2020. According to Mr. West, both the boys were playing outside their home in California City, a home that they had recently moved to from Bakersfield, California. Jacqueline, Mrs. West, was inside wrapping Christmas gifts, and Mr. West said he was outside collecting firewood. Mr. West says that he realized that he left the back gate open and he panicked and came inside and into the house. He then searched the house, both he and his wife, and once that didn't pan out, he got in a van, looked down the street in both directions, and it was getting dark and getting cold. They drove around the neighborhood for the boys until the sun began to set. At that point, Jacqueline decided it was time to call the police. What did the police find at the scene? Really, up to this point, is nothing. They have searched the home on multiple occasions. They have dug up spots in the backyard, but nothing would seem to provide any information as to where are the boys. To date, no one has been declared a suspect. According to the police, the parents are cooperative, that they've asked to take a lie detector test, but the police haven't said whether they actually ended up taking the test. The only thing that the police will say is that the Wests are being cooperative. Apparently, the Wests have relocated back to Bakersfield, which is also where the boy's biological mother lives. She is also assisting in the search. The bottom line is there's no suspects, there's no real lead or information that at least the police are talking about that has given any insight or hope that the boys will be found shortly. The California City, Bakersfield Police, as well as the FBI are actively investigating the case, and the investigators are apparently going over hours and hours of security video in the area. Hopefully that will lead to some clue. The police reiterate and want everyone to know that someone out there knows what's happened to these 2 young boys. And if they have any information, they should contact the California City Police at 760-373-8606. Now, I know there's a lot of channels out there that want to speculate. We are not going to do that because, frankly, we could sit here all day long and speculate, but there's no facts and there's no evidence at this point, legitimately, where we can raise questions about who should be a suspect or not. We will continue to follow this story, but it's simply a case that has not developed quickly. And to sit and speculate, it simply is not productive to anyone in this investigation. Next on the docket, that Tennessee manhunt that we talked about late last week, well, it's over. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation identified the body of a Tennessee man who was 70 years old and was the suspect in the double homicide of two men in a duck hunting blind. David Val was charged with two counts of first-degree murder in the deaths last week of Zachary Grooms and Chance Black. Mr. Val's body was located about 3 p.m. on Sunday in the water. His identity has been confirmed and an autopsy will be performed. According to the police reports, Grooms and Black were in a duck blind hunting on the lake early on January 25th. There was another man with them by the name of Jeffrey Crabtree. It's then alleged that Val drives his boat to their blind, knocks on the door, and allegedly shoots Grooms when he opened the door. Black was also shot before Crabtree got the gun away from Val, hit him in the face with the butt end of the weapon, and briefly knocked him out, according to the statement he gave to the investigators. Crabtree got two of the victims into a boat and tried to get them to medical attention. Crabtree stated that he saw Val in the water walking towards the bank as he drove away. The district attorney explained that there had been no activity or signal detected on Val's cell phone after the incident, which is why it took a little longer to find him, apparently. Searchers had been focusing on the lake because there was no indication Val made it out of the area. As we reported last week, both the boat and the car that were associated with Mr. Val had remained at the scene. Obviously, we do not know how this ended for Mr. Val, but one could certainly believe that it was something of his own doing. We'll have to wait and see, and we'll let you know when we find out. Next on the docket, no, we can't keep mom in the freezer. All right, we have a lot of international followers, so that's why we're bringing you the story. But a woman in Japan has been arrested after a cleaner found the mother of the woman in the freezer of her Tokyo apartment. Apparently, the body had been in there for at least 10 years. The reason why Yumi Yoshino, now 48, didn't come clean and let everybody know that her mother had passed away was because she didn't want to move out of their apartment. Now, apparently there were no visible wounds on the frozen body when they found her, but apparently she was bent to fit into the freezer. And ultimately, Miss Yoshino's plan did not work out because she was unable to make the rent payments and was evicted. That's the reason why the cleaners found the body in the freezer. I just don't know what to say, other than maybe it seems like that episode of Shameless where they didn't let everybody know that the aunt had died so they could continue getting her Social Security checks, and it was turned out she was buried in the backyard. That's the only thing I could possibly equate it to, is a fictional drama on TV. Go figure. Next on the docket, do not live stream from a crime scene. Raymond Michael Zeno Weber has been charged with two counts of murder after he allegedly live streamed himself inside a California apartment with the bodies of two dead women. Weber, 29, held police at bay for 8 hours early Sunday morning before the officers forced their way inside. Police were called to the scene at 12:30 a.m. when a woman called 911 and reported she'd seen a live stream of the man with a gun and two women lying motionless on the floor of the apartment. A 36-minute video was broadcast on Instagram and was extremely graphic. Weber said that the women and his brother, a local rapper, Uzi Marcus or Marcus Weber, were trying to set him up. It says, after finding Weber barricaded in the apartment, officers called in SWAT officers and negotiators, but negotiations with Weber were unsuccessful. Police evacuated other units in the apartment building and used distraction devices and chemical agents to force Weber out, who ultimately surrendered. That is code for flashbang grenades and tear gas. All right, let's take a quick recess, because after hearing those stories, one thing is for certain: you do not know who you are dealing with out there in the world. And the only way you're going to possibly find out is, well, if someone's completely honest with you, or two, you do a criminal background check. My advice is you're going to have to do the latter, because most people that have something to hide aren't going to tell you. So when you go to crimetalksearch.com, you'll be able to sign up for a background subscription service. And when you do, you're going to get a report. And when you do, you will have a report generated while you wait. And that is the result of literally searching millions of public records here in the United States. It's going to have information related to criminal history. It's going to have information regarding bankruptcy records, sex offender registration. It's going to have information regarding marital records, property records, anything associated with them online. Things that you want to know, things that people are not going to necessarily tell you. Why? Because it's embarrassing. They're trying to make a good impression, but you deserve the facts. You should know. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely happy and satisfied that you did. Next on the docket, another solicitation case fails. As you may recall, we talked about this last week. Apparently, not enough subscribers are out there listening to our advice that this never works. All right? An Oklahoma couple are suspected of trying to hire a family friend in Texas to kill the wife's ex-husband. That's right. Courtney Dethridge, 25, was arrested just the other day, and Dustin Dethridge, her husband, and the family friend met to discuss the solicitation, the deal. Well, the friend didn't like the deal and apparently got freaked out and contacted law enforcement, which usually always does. Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation said that Courtney Dethridge made the initial contact with the friend in Texas, and they paid $250 down and $250 when the act was done. She also agreed to provide the gun. So then the friend, working with the police, traveled to Oklahoma from Texas, and all three met. Courtney Dethridge met the friend. They met in the vehicle, and Courtney provided $100 down payment and a loaded 12-gauge shotgun that the couple took from the home of Dustin Dethridge's grandfather. You always got to be suspicious if someone is only going to ask $500 to take somebody out. And you also have to be suspicious about getting paid. If they couldn't come up with the full amount, or at least half, only could pay $100 towards the $250 upfront fee, chances are you're not going to get paid when the deed is done. Thank goodness no one got hurt in this particular case. Both Dethridges were arrested, and they're being held in the Latimer County Jail on a $100,000 bond. Bottom line is, those type of cases never work out. I'm sure everyone's heard the word, the only way three people can keep a secret is if two of them are deceased. That's the only way someone wasn't going to talk about this. And in this particular case, the friend got freaked out and figured $500 really wasn't worth spending the rest of his life in prison for. Good decision on the friend's part. Next on the docket, who knew teachers were so romantic? Well, a former Haines City High School coach and teacher is accused of sexual battery against a female student while they were both inside his classroom closet on at least 10 occasions. Isn't that romantic? The teacher is Mr. Wayne McKenzie Ricks, 29, and obviously we'll give him the presumption of innocence. But it is alleged that one of the family members of the young girl became aware of the relationship and reported it to the school. It is alleged that Ricks would have the victim come to his classroom while he was alone, and the two would engage in sexual intercourse while inside the classroom closet. No whining and dining going on there at all, just simply a little extra tutoring, I guess. Mr. Ricks has only been a teacher since the end of August of last year, 2020. He was a special education teacher and a junior boys basketball coach. Needless to say, Mr. Ricks will no longer be around children or anyone under the age of 18 for some time to come. We'll see how things turn out for Mr. Ricks, but apparently there are some text messages back and forth between him and his young child victim. Next on the docket, wait until you hear how this Peeping Tom got arrested. It is alleged that Mr. Brian Anthony Joe, once again, since he hasn't been convicted or pled guilty, will give him the presumption of innocence, but he has got a tough battle ahead of him. It is alleged that he fell through the ceiling and into the women's locker room at the gym, and when he fell through, other patrons at the gym held him down until the police could arrive. Mr. Joe fell through the ceiling at approximately 1:16 p.m. when the police arrived to the One Life Fitness Center in Stafford, Virginia. He apparently also fell onto a woman that was directly beneath him when he fell through the ceiling. The woman was uninjured, and as I stated, several patrons at the gym cornered the suspect, who was later arrested by the police. It's unclear how Mr. Joe may have engaged in the specific alleged act or if he had done this on prior incidences. Needless to say, he was released early Sunday morning, and apparently this is an active investigation. This is one of those types of things where I doubt that he got caught on the first time that he was doing it. We'll see if Mr. Joe makes any statements to the police. He may want to get in there as quickly as possible and wrap this case up before they can find other charges to bring against him. Needless to say, Mr. Joe needs to get a new hobby, one that does not include going through the rafters or the ceiling above areas where ladies would be changing their clothes. Mr. Joe, you may need to get yourself enrolled in some sex offender classes immediately. See if you can control those urges and impulses. Maybe the district attorney will take that into consideration when they're considering the appropriate charges and offer in your case. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But first, the winner from last week. Once again, as always, tough competition. You always think it can't get any better than this, but literally every week it does. And our winner, by an overwhelming majority of the vote, Edner Flores. That's right, the man from Chicago that went in to rob the bank, and the teller was pretty smart on her feet and said, "I need you to fill out a deposit slip and I need your ID." Mr. Flores complied, and the teller held him there long enough until the police arrived and Mr. Flores was arrested. Mr. Flores, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the week. That's right, we'll be sending you a mug, a Crime Talk mug. Not sure if you'll be able to get that into the Federal Detention Center, but we'll try. Let us know if you have any problems. Maybe we can send it to a family member or something like that. But if you would like a mug without becoming a contestant, simply hit the link below and you can order lots of cool Crime Talk merchandise. They just put a new shirt up there. It's very cool. Go hit the link, check it out. I think you'll like it. We made it special for somebody, a big Patreon, but it's so good, we want to get everybody a shot at it as well. All right, now our dumb criminal contestant of the day is a gentleman by the name of Ami Ongo, O-N-G-G-O, common spelling. Well, what he did was he stole a tow truck from an Orange County bar. And when the police ultimately caught up with him as he was driving down the road in the stolen car, the man admitted to stealing the truck. And the reason that he took it was because why? They had towed one of his cars in the past. So I guess it's kind of a tit for tat. you tow my car, I'm going to steal your tow truck one day. Doesn't quite work out that way. And once again, when somebody is arrested, what do they find on them? That's right, controlled substances. And Mr. Ungo had methamphetamine in his pocket. Probably something to give himself a little pick-me-up, a little boost, a little courage to go take that tow truck. All right. Thanks for watching. We will see you next time on Crime Talk. Have a wonderful day.